It is The Drive with Rob and Roz, and it is Men's Mental Health Month, and we've been having some incredible conversations the whole week long so far. En ek is baie bly om te sê, ampie depress by ons, ampie hoe gaan het, dude?
Lekker en jy, dankie dat jylle my uiteindelik ingekry het, ek was lang voel of ek lang klas hier was.
Is lekker om vir jou in te hê, hoe gaan het met jou?
Het gaan goed, Ek is baie bly die winter is verby en die somer is uiteindelik hier, because I hate the winter.
Ja.
And yeah, my feet gets cold and you can't exercise as early as you want to. So there's a couple of things I hate about the winter, but obviously there's a couple of nice things. But yeah, summer's here, sun's out, so I can play my golf now literally every day if I want to. So nice. It's nice.
What's the handicap sitting on?
I'm a 4.4.
Listen, that's good.
Yeah.
I dream one day about being that good. I haven't swung a club in anger since before COVID. So
really?
Ek weet nie eers hoe sleg het sal wees as ek ooit op 'n baan uitkom nie hoor.
No, I sing and I play golf. That's mainly the two things that I love. So yeah.
Take us back. You've been around, I think, when did the debut albums come out? Like 2010, 2011, daar iewers?
Yeah, debut album. So my first album, can we start there?
Yeah.
So I released my first one in 1999. So I was still in Standard 9 back in the day.
Yeah.
And it was an English group called Definitely Maybe. And Joe Black was actually in the group with me because we went to school.
Wow.
We actually grew up together in kindergarten together, then primary school, high school.
Ken jy vir Joel so lank?
Since I think 4 or 5 years old. He says 5, I say 4. But yeah, let's say under 6, then we're all safe.
The one that resonated with a lot of people was you helping AB out with the song, and you know.
Oh yeah, that was 2010. Yeah, that was
That was a fun moment in the country. You know, it was World Cup time in Amalis Ani Joel, and it was just a. It was geest gewees, man. What else?
Yeah. So after 1999, obviously I went to go and study at Tikkies University of Pretoria, and I studied BCom Financial Management. So, in between that time, there was about 2001 to 2003, 2004, roughly there. So I did a thing called Zing on CakeNet. It was an Afrikaans duet, a duet competition.
Yeah.
And I think the girl that I sang with, we were literally thrown out because we fought too much. but yeah, so after that, AB and I, no, but I was earlier, I was in a group. I was in a couple of weird groups. I was Sean Els that was in Eden that started the whole Bok van Blerk and Karleen van Jaarsveld back in the day. We started in 2012 after the AB album. I actually did a country album with him, but in that time he moved to Cape Town and he started a movie company.
Yeah.
And so that project actually stopped. And before that I was in a group like after school, let's say university, 2005 to 2007, I was in a group of Mans who's Jan.
And yeah, Kondo.
Do you remember that?
Yep, I do.
Yeah, so Anu van Heerden, we were good mates, and he was an unbelievable writer. And in that time, he passed away. He got cancer, and he passed away. And after that, it was AB, and then Sean. You know, I was always when you were young, it was a thing. You know, I still had a bit of stage fright in the sense of you just feel better to have somebody next to you.
Yeah.
And I think most of the people these days that plays with bands, there's a similarity, I think, in my opinion. People don't like to be alone on stage.
Ek kan glo.
But I managed to do it without any band members, like a kick pedal key and, yeah, you know, just more basic, more acoustic, more folky. You know, I'm more into that style the last couple of years. But yeah, so the debut album, my first solo album, I think came out in 2013.
Yes. And yeah, this what I can do. But you see, you was by Tux, BCom Financial Management.
Mm.
I know which building you were in, bro. But
is
it? Yourself that they 2000 to 2005.
Yeah.
That was the era, and Hatfield Square was buzzing. Oof. And do you remember the St. Patrick's Day parties and the Joels on the square? And I mean, we'd be there from, you know, like Wednesday through to Sunday, every single week. That was Joel Central geweest.
Yeah, I was hardly in class, to be honest. In 2001, my first year, I was literally, I passed, there was one, I think it was statistics.
Yeah.
Or was it now accounting? One of the modules or something I didn't make, but the rest I did make, so it's only to only make one, you know, module is not too bad for your first year, I assume.
Yeah, I feel that because our your financial management building and our law building were sort of very close together.
Oh.
And then Gerts was net daar geweest. So whenever you walked up, yeah, after lunch, you'd walk up and be like, are we going to do this 2-hour contract law lecture, or are we going to go sit at Gerts and have a beer? And
yeah.
The beer always won.
Yes, there was one commercial law module that I took with me, I think a year or two. But I always went in, I literally had to get 40%. I always went in with between 70 and 90%, and then the exam comes, and for some reason, you get like 38% or something. You must get like 40s.
Oh, it felt familiar. Don't worry, I know that feeling.
Yeah, then I didn't study, but in any case, the last one, I went in with something like 91, 92, and I ended up in the 90s, but it took me like a year or two to get the actual module in that specific. Now you're mentioning law. Obviously not my strong point.
Near ek werk nie hoor. That's why we're not there anymore.
Yeah.
But I mean, I remember how hectic Joel was at that time of our lives. And you and I think we're within 6 months of each other in age. Altoe nou. Vroeg 40s. And you've been through a lot in that intervening time. How has your life changed from party ampie daai tyd tot nou?
Yeah, it's interesting because when you're young, you're doing music. Obviously, it's any boss and it's all the big festivals and you get to small places for the first time meeting new people, you know. So there's always some liquor and it's...
And people want to impress you. Hey, Ampie is here. Luister, kom drink a tequila ki saam met ons. Come and have this. What can I get you? It just, it doesn't end.
Yeah, it doesn't end. And I was one of those, if you challenge me, who can drink the most, I will not sleep and I will win. So my body took a lot of damage. I've been doing music now, as we spoke, since 1999, when I was still in Standard 9 or in school.
Yeah.
Up until now, it's 25 years. And just like 5 years ago, just before COVID, and I didn't even realize that it was 6 December 2019. It was just before I went on holiday. I just decided I was so fed up with drinking and with partying the whole time. I've got a constant bubble ass. You never recover. And I just decided to completely stop. And I always do the weirdest things. Just be a day or two before you have to do something big. I've got a weird mind, and I don't know why I stopped 6 December, because I'm supposed to party the whole of December and then
that's
decide.
That's the season, you get.
Yeah, and then you'll decide in January. But I just thought, you know, I don't want to be one of those people wat nuwejaars voornemens het en sê ek 1 January of 5 January gaan ek nou ophou. I'm one of those guys, if you want to do something and you feel like it now and you've made a calculated decision in your head to do it, just do it now. You know, I always say, why do you want to procrastinate and hoekom wil jy goed uitstel? If you want to stop something in your life, why do you want to put a date on it? If you want to stop, stop.
Nee, ek stem heeltemal met jou saam.
You know, so it was weird timing, but I am one of those. I do the most ridiculous things on the weirdest times, and that's just how I am. I don't know why.
No, but in the mood and on a whim gets results, because then, you know, your brain just goes, okay, that's fine, we can do that.
Yeah.
And since that point, how has it gone?
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. I don't have anything against alcohol. I always tell people that comes to me and say, listen, we are following you and we've known you stopped for 5 years now. How did you do it? And you know, I'm not a person to give advice on any don't do anything. You know, it's a decision I made. But if somebody comes to me and wants help, I'll help him in a certain way that I feel I can help him. You know, but I don't have a problem with alcohol. It's not alcohol that was the problem for me stopping. For me personally, it was alcohol. But some people have different, and it's not, you get a couple of I don't think you're an alcoholic or you're not an alcoholic. I think there's a couple of phases. There's 20 different types of alcoholics, in my opinion. Now, if I was one, probably did I drink a lot? Not constantly. I didn't drink every day. I was a binge drinker. Per geleentheid, whenever I feel I've worked hard, I've done things that I had to do. It was like my knoppie wat ek afsit and say, okay.
Yeah.
But I knew beforehand, I'm not going to stop drinking today. I've done everything. I'm off.
Yeah, I'm going to reward myself now.
I'm going to reward myself. And then obviously you do it till you literally fall over and sleep or pass out or whatever you want to call it. You know, and that just, yeah, my body took, the older I got, you know, you don't recover anymore.
Yeah.
My recovery was a day, then it became 2 days, and then it became like 3 days when you still feel not great. And I just decided, you know what, for one night of partying or 2 days, let's say it's over a week, and you feel so bad, you don't eat right, you're not in your exercising routine. It messed up my whole positive routine in my life.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest reason. It wasn't necessarily the alcohol that I needed to stop.
Yeah.
But obviously the alcohol was the reason why I wanted to stop, because that's where I'm not in my routine where I feel positive. I'm a very positive. I hate seeing the glass half empty. I'm one of those guys, you know, everything will work out. And if you want to do something, and that's why I always say, if you want to stop something, stop now. Why do you want to wait? You know, that's basically that. And after that, the last 5 years, I think if people understand or know how negative alcohol actually is, no one would drink.
Yeah, it's amazing. Once you're out of it and removed from it, you can sort of see it a little more clearly. Kan ek vra, 5 jaar terug, jy het besluit, jy wil ophou, because you weren't feeling good and so on. Was it just that, or was daar iets achter in jou kop? Het jy ooit gedink vir jouself, miskien het ek 'n probleem?
An alcohol problem or stuff?
In general, did you get to the point where, was it just a case of, luister, ek voel kak, ek wil nou ophou, want ek voel kak? Or was it a case of, listen, this is impacting my life, this is impacting how I interact with people around me, maybe I need to take all of these things into consideration? Jy weet, it's a subtle verskil, maar daar is 'n bietjie van 'n verskil.
Jy weet, ek is 'n baie positiewe mens. People usually like me when I'm sober, because people find me funny, and you know, we can talk about anything. And especially when you drink and you like mellowish, you know, everyone loves you, you're funny, the party's going, and then I just don't stop. So at some point, I'm still there, because I'm one of those that I don't pass out, I can't really vomit of alcohol, I don't know why. So I'm this walking zombie that's there, but I'm not really there anymore.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you don't really know what you do. You know, and by saying that is, maybe you swear too much and there's people with kids, but you don't see the kids, and it's not, you don't wanna swear in front of people, but if you're too pissed, you don't even know they're there.
Jy is nie besig om aspris te wees nie.
Yes.
Dit gebeur net.
Maar dan sien mense, they say, yeah, is that Ampie that sings that song? I actually like his music, but what's going on here now?
Hierdie ou is a problem.
Then you can't speak and your eyes are closed, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Everyone does it, and it's, yeah, it's fine, and we're musicians and that. But I just came to a point of, I've been working so hard in my music career, and now you go to a festival or in a VIP area somewhere, now you misbehave because you did your show on the main stage, you had a bit of a spike, and now you want to relax and you jump to alcohol, which nothing's wrong with it. But I don't know where my off button is. And especially if people say, tonight I'm going to show you can drink the most, then I'll say, okay, but let's test it.
Yeah.
And 9 out of 10 times I usually win. But then your body takes so much hammering and strain afterwards. It's not the drinking the reason why I stopped. I was not one of the guys that gets in a car and drive drunk and yach and stomp my rims and come into fights. I'm not that kind of a drinker. I'm more of a social party, just enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
You know, but it got to a point that, you know, you wake up, you don't want to work on a Monday. Then you order Uber Eats. Then you don't go and exercise. You don't do the work you're supposed to do. And now you get stressed. Now it's becoming a thing of, what are you doing? You got so much stuff to do. You're out of your routine. Now you eat wrong. Now you drink Coke to get energy. You know, it's just that neek my own personal life. I'm not saying there's people out there that can manage it. If you can manage it, congratulations. But I promise you, 9 out of 10 people can't manage it.
No, completely.
Every corporate person, every guy with his own business, working for anybody, I don't care who that specific person is. Yeah. Every person at some stage drinks too much.
Yeah, and I find it's very easy. People who drink a lot and people who smoke a lot of weed will tell you quite easily that, no, I've got this under control. Mm. It's not a problem. Mm. I can deal with it. And I'm like, I can see that it's impacting you. Mm. I can see that it's affecting the quality of person you get to be in your day to day. You know, it's difficult on the inside to see it. Did you see a change in your relationship with people around you?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, but dis die ding wat ek wou gesê, self-respect first thing, because there's a thing that dies when you drink too much. Jy dink, ja, okay, jy is nou maar a loser en jy drink nou maar, want jy wil ook nie ophou nie. You know, it's one of those things you have a struggle with yourself and say, but you're better than this. Why do you keep on doing this the whole time?
Yeah.
You know, dit kom op so 'n punt, jy voel angstig, jy voel depressed, not to a case where you wanna, you know,
yeah,
hurt yourself or whatever.
No, but you're down. Alcohol is a depressant. You feel mislike the
night. Yeah, and the thing is, the night was lekker, and it was a couple of hours, and you saw all your mates, but then for the next 3 days, you in a bit of a hole.
Yeah.
You know, but so from there onwards, I think self-respect is the first thing that you feel, you know what, I'm proud of you for what you've done, because, you know, everyone's struggling, everyone is drinking, it is the norm out there, you are in an industry where everyone drinks, end of the story. And to not do it, there's a big positive thing that happened to me where you get your self-respect back. So I think that's an important thing that people must understand, that apart from anything else, get that self-respect back towards yourself. Then automatically people are going to see you in a different light. You don't even have to do anything else. If you're not drinking, you're at the same parties, you stay. I won't stay till 3, but I'll stay till 11.
Yeah.
So till the people start irritating me and telling me the same story 2 or 3 times in a row, then I'll leave.
Yeah, it's very interesting suddenly being the sober person in a space where you were drunk with other drunk people and getting to observe drunk people. Dis a verskillende energie daai as jy nie drink nie.
Ja, so ek moet ook sê, jy weet, ek en my vrou, there's new things she brought out now, maar alcohol was nogal 'n issue in ons verhouding, want ek sing, dan kom ek nie huis toe nie, dan gaan speel ek golf, dan kom ek nie huis toe nie, you know, so it was a bit of a thing, and jy weet, soos met jou kinders ook, ek het baie tyd nou om met my kinders te spandeer. Ek en my vrou se verhouding is 10 mal beter, al dink sy nou nuwe goed uit om nou oor te stry. Hulle sal altyd iets dink om oor te stry, maar is daarom beter as die alcohol fights. Want jy weet, daar kan 4-5 dae, 'n week kan verbygaan, that we don't actually talk to each other.
Yeah.
You know, I want to talk to her, but she just ignores you because she told you, please be home at this time because I need to do this, and then you just don't pitch up. So it is my fault. And obviously there's merit for her to be angry with me, but yeah, probably not for a week, but That's the way it works. But yeah, in general, I think you don't have to, in my opinion, show people, you know, give me respect because I've done this. It's more of a thing. Just stop and just be normal and do your thing, and people will respect you and will come and ask you, how did you do it? Because the main thing that is so irritating, actually, is the first question most of the people that gets drunk, it's usually the guy that gives you a bit of flack in the morning. Oh, you don't drink, you know, but he's the first guy at 11 or 12 that says, listen, can I just talk to you quickly?
Yeah.
And then he's the one that actually wants to know, but how did you stop?
Yeah, it's that bravado that people put on. Maar eintlik is jy nie, you're not really trying to be honest with yourself because you don't know how. So you then put on the big show and you have all the drinks and you're loud, and then soos jy sê, einde van die aand, luister bra, hoe het dit gegaan, hoe werk
dit? But the biggest thing, groepsdruk, I cannot tell you how that actually irritates me. And if that is actually in a person with a wife and kids and living in some estate that's actually, you know, a wealthy kind of guy that still falls for groepsdruk. That's always the first question. Maar, hoe het jy dit vir jou vriende gesê? Hoe het jy gedeel met groepsdruk? Hoe sê jy nee by al die geleenthede? You know, and that's bad to me, because why is jou vriende the biggest reason why you don't actually want to stop? So you miss your kids, you miss your wife, you miss your health. because what your friends think of you. You know, yeah. It's ridiculous.
It is belachelijk. I agree with you. And I've slowly, over the course of my life, I've just quietly removed myself from the groups and the people who used to be like that. And I've slowly just cut those people out.
Have you stopped drinking?
So my fiance took a bit of a break. We went to go and get engaged. And then we came back in June this year. And we went bachelor's party, wedding. In 4 weekends, and she got to the end of it and she was like, listen, I'm just going to take a break for a month.
Oh, yeah.
And because she wasn't drinking, I was drinking a lot less.
Okay.
And then got to the end of the month and she rolled it over to another month. And she rolled it over to another month. And no, is it the ding fun? If we go out, I'll have a glass of wine and then I'm a happy boy.
And she stopped completely.
Yeah, pretty much. She'll have a glass of wine here and there every now and then, but we don't go out anymore. Even when we're DJing, you know, we're not ordering rounds of tequila. We're not getting involved. Now it's a quiet, listen, I don't think I want to stop ever because I love a glass of wine with dinner.
Yeah.
This is a lekker ding om te hê, but it's much, much lower. I can't remember the last time I woke up with a hangover. And it's a baie lekker gevoel. You're right about all the things you said. I feel much more energized and in control and relaxed about it. And weekends feel more productive. And dis net lekker, man.
And your girlfriend's life, how did that change?
Yeah, she's feeling great about it as well. You know, she's relaxed about it. She's exercising more. She's got more time to get things done. It's not like we partied a huge amount anyway. But now Sunday feels like a day. As opposed to Sunday feeling like a waste on the couch. It makes a huge difference. In our groepsdruk ding, it's an important thing to consider as well. Because why would you surround yourself with quote-unquote friends who want to be like that? Why don't you want people around who will go, luisterek, wil jy my drink nie? Excellent. I will never offer you a drink ever again. That is a real friend.
Yes.
The one going, ach, come on, have a little one with us. That's not your friend.
Yeah. I just made a decision. The first thing is, in my opinion, you have to have a kind of a strong personality. Now, not everyone has it, so I don't know how to handle a situation if you don't have a kind of a strong personality. So that might be a thing for most people, but I don't think it's the end of the world in any case. I just took it and I told myself, I'm going to tell all of my friends, but I'm not in a... in a group session or whatever, I'm one-on-one wherever I see you. I'm going to tell whoever that friend is, listen, I'm going to stop. This is the reasons why I'm going to stop. And remember, they know me. They know how much I drank and how I was. So some of my, like Hunter Kennedy, which is, you know, from your
fantastic. Hunter, yeah.
Francia van Cooke, they were the two people, and that's why I like them so much. You know, when I actually told them, listen, I'm going to stop, both of them said, oh my goodness, thank God for that. You know, and that actually...
Coming from Francia, that's
exactly,
rich.
Exactly, but that was one of the first two people I actually, for some reason, told them first, or they were in Pretoria, I was in Cape Town. I can't really remember how it happened.
Yeah.
You know, but Francia stopped for, I think, 10 years or whatever, but...
I'd say hele lewe omgedraai.
Yeah.
In terms of that.
Yeah, and I like that people always think the rock stars are these, you know, druggies, and they are the most sane people, the commercial people. You know, in my opinion, rock stars, they run their own business, they design their things, they write their own music. They much more of business people in music than any commercial singer out there.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that the commercial singer has a record label, the songs get written, you do nothing. You go in, you sing your song for 10 minutes, you're out of the studio, and the rest just gets done for you, you know? Then you stand for a photo, and there you go. You know, those guys are you know, I see them in a way different light than most people see them, and that's why I got so much respect for them. And even the way they just told me, Umpy, we are happy. Please don't ever drink again, you know? And that's a true friend, you know? There's some other guys that also said, Umpy, if that is the way you feel, I back you, you know, I support you. And I knew I'm going to lose a lot of friends, but I also told myself the ones that I lose wasn't supposed to be there in the first place. So I don't care. I don't care who I lose. And some of those people that I haven't spoken to in a couple of years, slowly but surely, you hear from them again, even though it's once a year or checking in or jy loop dalk raak errands and vra, "Oh, het jy nog steeds opgehou? Great." And you weet, that type of thing.
Party friends, They can come and go. The real friends are the ones that'll stick by you through the changes. Dude, baie dankie vir jou tyd vanmiddag. Ek waardeer vir jou.
No problem. Ek is bly ek het jou uiteindelik daarom ontmoet.
Yes, it's been far too long.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend. Absolutely appreciate it. Ampi Dupree coming to chat just about, you know, changing your life and how you can do it if you want to, and sometimes for the better. Thank you, dude.
100%, geen probleem. Dankie aan al die luisteraars in Jacaranda. Ek is lief vir julle. Ons kom al 'n lang pad, so dankie vir die geleentheid.